Back on the Hammer Down Show, 101.7 The Hammer, 101.7thehammer.com. Continue to rail out those texts to us, 765-447-4080. Time now for our Wednesday feature, our Where Are They Now? And we said, hey, this is the perfect opportunity to get Greg Eifert on the show, the former Boilermaker, a member of Gene Cady's first Big Ten championship team. Oh, by the way, he's also Grady's dad, and he joins us on the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline. Greg, good afternoon. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you so much for joining us. Are you in Hartford today, or are you on your way out there?
We'll be on our way first thing in the morning.
Awesome. So what's it been like for you and your family to be on this journey this season with your son, Grady, and see this team go from 6-5 to a share of the Big Ten championship?
It's been absolutely awesome. I mean, I never dreamt that Grady would have the opportunity to experience this, but it's been a fun ride, and it's fun to see the kids come together as a team and play well together and enjoy each other. You can just tell they're having fun out there.
Well, put your college basketball analyst hat on for us here. What was the difference? What have you seen since that 6-5 start? Why is this team playing so well as it goes into the tournament?
I just think, you know, one of the key things is they finally bought into that it's a team effort. It's not an individual effort, and they couldn't rely on individuals to win the games. They had to depend on everybody. I think you're seeing that, you know, it's not even the starting five. It's all 10 or 12 guys that will play at any given time that have to contribute. And you've seen it all year long with the bench really contributing a lot of those key wins, you know, whether it been Hunter or Aaron or Sasha. I mean, all these guys have contributed big time. And Williams, you look at what he's done, Trevion, as far as coming along and developing throughout the year. I mean, it's just been fun to watch them all come together. I mean, I think, and I think the two seniors, Ryan and Grady, have done a great job of leading them and pulling them together and getting them to realize that, you know, that's the only way they're going to win is if they do it as a group and as a team.
Greg Eifert with us, former Purdue forward on the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline.
Greg, I had Grady on the show last week, and I asked him, you know, when they were 6-5, if anything, was there a meeting of the minds? He said that him and Klein kind of texted each other and talked a little bit. During that period, did he call you for any advice?
No, not really. I mean, we just kept telling him to hang in there. And, you know, I kept texting him and telling him, hey, this is your team. I said, you're a senior. You know, you're a captain. I said, it's your team. I said, it's not anybody else's team but yours and Ryan's. And you guys have got to take on the leadership role and get the things done that need to get done, whether that be in practice or team meetings or what have you. But, you know, as a cat myself, you know, you just realize that it's you guys that have got to lead that team. You can't count on the younger guys to do it. And it's going to end up being what you guys put into it is going to end up being what the outcome's going to be.
Was that role something that he stepped into easily, or was it a tough transition for him to know that he is the leader of this team?
Grady's not a real vocal leader. I mean, you'll hear him talking to the other players out there on the floor and telling them, you know, where they got to be or what they got to be doing. But he's not a real vocal leader. He's not a rah-rah leader. But I think he's been one that's just kind of always led by example. And I think I have not been to any practices, but from what I understand, he puts it all out every play, every minute of every practice. So I think he just leads by example more than anything. And I think he just knew he had to step it up. And I think you saw, you know, after that slow start, I think you saw him even step up his game, you know, when he was playing. You know, just doing the little things. And I've always told him that. I said, you know, you just got to do the little things out there. I said, you got guys that can shoot and score. You got to do the other things. You got to rebound. You got to get the tip outs. You got to play great defense, and you know, and I think he's brought some of the other guys along with him as far as defense goes, and they play well as a unit when they're out there, you know, defensively. I mean, Ryan's become a very good defensive player. Sasha has become a very good defensive player. So I think just by leading by example, he's got the other guys to buy in.
Greg, I thought, you know, his recruiting process was unique, you know, going to a prep school to improve his game. As a father during that process, were you behind him going and being a walk-on at Purdue and maybe not ever having a chance to play? Or, hey, son, let's go to a smaller school where you can thrive and show your skill set on the court?
He was pretty much set on doing that. I mean, I didn't sway him one way or the other. I said, hey, if that's what you want to do, I said, I'll support you 100%. And he said, that's what I really want to do. He said, you know, if it works out, great. If it doesn't, I'm at the school where I want to be. And he's always, you know, grown up with Purdue and has always loved Purdue. So it was, I'd say it was pretty easy for him to do.
Chat with Greg Eifert, go ahead, Greg.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, he knew going into it that his time was going to be very limited, and I can remember freshman year, you know, he was on the sidelines at practice, most practices, and not even getting into the scrimmages and just doing the drills and stuff. But you know, I just told her, I said, use it as a learning experience. Learn as much as you can about the offense, learn as much as you can about what they expect on defense. And you know, he's got a really good solid basketball mind, very smart on the court, very smart off the court, and just does a good job of understanding what Matt expects in the offense and the defense. And I think, you know, what a lot of people, you know, he gets a lot of critics saying, you know, he's not as athletic as Aaron, but, and that's true, but what he brings on the floor is that he understands the offense and runs the offense the way Matt wants it ran.
Chat with Greg Eifert, former Purdue forward on the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline. So, Greg, when you're in the stands watching this team and watching your son play, are you cool as a cucumber up there with your family, or are you just a nervous wreck?
No, I'm pretty cool. I will say this, it's always easier being either on the bench or out there playing than it is to be sitting there watching. But I try to stay pretty cool and just, you know, kind of take it all in and try to observe what's happening. And, you know, and Coach Katie always taught us this, that the game is in 5-minute spurts. You know, you got to win the first 5 minutes of the game. You know, now we're getting into the second 10 minutes of the game. And then, you know, the second half, the first 5 minutes of that second half, you got to dominate. And, you know, so I always kind of break the game down into 5-minute increments in what we're doing. So if we lose in the middle somewhere, you know, a 5-minute stretch, I'm okay with that as long as the second half they come out and they get after it right away in the second half. So I stay pretty calm up there. I can't say that about Julie, my wife. She gets pretty animated, but I try to stay pretty calm, and I really appreciate some of the great plays that they do and, you know, great defensive stops and, those are the things that I look for.
Well, you and your son, Grady, join John and Drew Anthrop as the only father-son combinations to win Big Ten titles at Purdue. What's that mean for you and your son to both know you've won Big Ten championships?
Well, it's pretty cool. In fact, Johnny and myself were texting back and forth after that, and he reached out to me and said, hey, we're an elite class. And I said, I know, they should put a plaque up in Mackey Arena for us. And he said, he goes, I think we should get some nice coats made up. So we're joking back and forth about it. But, no, that's pretty cool to see. I don't know if it's happened in any other Big Ten schools as well. So I think that's a pretty cool feat that we've both been able to enjoy with our sons.
Greg, as a former Purdue athlete myself, I've got 4 kids, one son. As a father, how involved were you in your kids' sporting life? You know, did you let the coaches coach? Did you, you know, kind of if they come to me, I'm going to give my advice? Or, you know, I'm asking for myself.
I left the coaching to the coaches that were coaching them. I very rarely did I ever coach. And even on, you know, the sidelines or in the stands, I was never one of those dads that was trying to coach from the stands. I firmly believe if I'm going to coach or talk to them about it, I'll talk to them at home about it or out in the driveway or what have you. But, you know, whether it been Tyler in football or who was a really good basketball player as well, or Grady or even our youngest one, Griffin, I'm not that type of dad that's trying to coach them from the stands or trying to coach them, you know, yelling at the coaches that are coaching them. I mean, I respect anybody that puts in the time and effort to coach kids these days. And so the best thing you can do is let the kids develop on their own, and you'll see if they have that it factor. I mean, I saw it with Tyler and I saw it with Grady that, you know, they were willing to put in the hours and the work to get to where they wanted to be. And once they get to that point, you know, it's pretty much let them go and just be there to support them and motivate them and, you know, be positive with them.
Greg, I saw some of the video of Grady talking on senior day there after the game, and he was thanking Coach Painter for allowing him to shoot because he was talking somewhere along the lines that Coach Katy wouldn't let you shoot. So why would Coach Katy not let you shoot the ball?
You just had to bring that up, didn't you?
Well, I thought it was a funny moment, so I thought I'd bring it up so you can defend yourself.
You know, I've gotten better over the years as far as that, you know, I was a pretty good offensive player as well. But obviously that all got thrown away with Grady mentioning that. But no, it was kind of a running joke. I mean, Steve Reed and I always joke about it even today that, you know, in the summer I would shoot lights out, and then the minute practice started October 15th, it would be like, you know, somebody put a lid on the basket. And it was just, part of it was my role for that team, because we had Kirk Clawson, we had Ricky Hall, we had Steve Reed, Mark Atkinson. I mean, we had some really good shooters on the team. And my role in being on the floor was being able to shut down their best offensive player. And we had a lot of really good top forwards in the league that year. Illinois had some great forwards. Ohio State had great forwards. Indiana had great forwards. Iowa. So, you know, my role, and I knew from Coach Katy that if I was going to be on the floor, it was going to be for stopping somebody else on defense and trying to shut them down and rebound and that kind of play. So shooting the ball was not a priority of mine, but coming out of high school averaging 27 points, obviously I knew how to put the ball in the hoop. But the funniest comment, and Coach won't remember this, but funniest comment he made to me about the whole situation, he says, "Eifert, if I want you to shoot the ball," he said, "I'll send you a letter." He said, "Don't wait by the mailbox."
That's good stuff for sure. What was it like to play for him? Because you guys were basically, you know, coming in there at the same time, and to culminate things with, you know, his first Big Ten championship when you were a senior.
It was great. I mean, Coach Katy's one of the best human beings you could ever meet. I mean, a lot of people think he's nuts from the way he acted on the sidelines, but what people don't realize is he was trying to distract the officials or get in the officials' heads and trying to help us win games by taking, you know, the attention away from the fact that maybe we weren't playing that well that game. So a lot of those antics were about that, but you know, you could always, Coach was treated us like men, and he respected us. And, you know, even to this day, I probably talk to him once a week, maybe twice a week sometimes. He called me this morning, wanted to know if I was in Hartford yet. I said, "No, Coach, we're leaving tomorrow." He goes, "All right, I'll see you tomorrow." So, I mean, he checks in all the time. So he was just awesome. And, you know, he'll tell you, he says, if it wasn't for that team in 84 winning that Big Ten, you know, we were picked 10th in the Big Ten that year and ended up, you know, winning the Big Ten. And he said, if it wasn't for you guys winning that Big Ten, he says, I think I would have lost my job at Purdue after that.
Wow. That was good stuff. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Greg, thanks so much for joining us. Safe travels to you and your family out to Hartford, and enjoy all the great basketball coming up here over the next several weeks.
You don't want to know how long or how far I got them going in my bracket?
How far do you have Purdue going in your bracket? Sure, let's find out. I probably have a good guess, but what do you got?
All the way to Minnesota, baby.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking. Absolutely. Absolutely. We knew that was the case, but now it's officially confirmed.